You know, as I was working on the message this week, I was looking at a couple of phobias that are out there, and I realized that I suffer from one particular phobia, and that's called bassophobia. It has nothing to do with bass fishing or anything like that, but bassophobia is the fear of falling. And somebody after first service says, well, I don't have the fear of falling, I have the fear of landing is really the fear that I have. And that's maybe true about me as well. But I learned about another phobia this week that is actually a new one that I hadn't known existed. And it's called nomophobia. It's the fear of being out of mobile phone contact. It's a true phobia, and I know lots of people have that phobia. If you forget your phone at home and you start driving away, instead of just going, I'll figure it out, I'll be home in a little bit, what do? You're going to turn around, you're going to go back and get it because you are fearful of being out of contact. Well, if you suffer from nomophobia, in fact, you probably are suffering from something called autophobia, which is the fear of being alone. And in many ways, that is one of the root fears that is why people go on spiritual journeys. And in many ways, the spiritual journey called Christianity has the answer to that. That because of Jesus Christ, who deeply wants to connect with you, you will never be alone. You're never alone on this side of heaven. And when we are called to be on the other side of heaven, we're going to be with the saints around us singing praises to the Lord. It's really what the journey is all about. We'll spend more time talking about that later. We're really glad you're here. Welcome. According to a recent study by researchers at San Diego University, the average American today is bombarded with an average of over 100,000 words and digests around 12 hours of information and media every single day. Now, at first I thought that number was huge, but if you start to think about it, 12 hours might not be so far off. If you take into account notifications and emails, phone calls and texts, voicemails, likes and tweets, Instagram pics, comments, tags, posts, as well as photos, videos, headlines, blogs, subscriptions, downloads, uploads, ads, ringtones, MP3s, apps, games, usernames, passwords, captchas, folders, files, feeds, searches, and pokes, you understand why we might have 12 hours of bombardment of information. It's hardly surprising to see that it has been called, we have been the most connected people of all time. But we also live in what is becoming an extrospective society, that is opposed to an introspective one. There are many who believe that true happiness is only found and expressed outside of us. We tend to believe wholeheartedly that the more we cram every living moment with outside sources of enjoyment, excitement, or pleasure, the more we're truly living. There are others who say that we're living in what is called the surround sound generation, meaning that we have thousands and thousands of channels and websites and information. We want to feel everything all the time. Have you heard the phrase, it gave me all the feels? Boy, we want to have all the feelings all the time. Well, just think about it. Going for a walk isn't simply just going for a walk anymore. It's a music concerto with headphones in our ears, sipping our venti iced soy half-calf caramel macchiato. Getting your steps in, making sure that your heart monitor is going. Admiring the passing carnival of humanity. It just used to go for a walk. You know, creativity and thoughts have become subservient to the singular ambition of saturating our senses. Stimulation has become the new world order. And the irony of it all is we have more friends, we know more about their activities and their interests and what they ate for breakfast, but we spend less time with them. We are more connected, yet we are more alone than any other generation in history. You know, Jesus himself gathered some friends around him. They were true, deep, and meaningful connections. He lived and he ate with them. He wasn't worried about putting things on Instagram or getting the right picture or the right selfie at the Sea of Galilee. And perhaps this connection that Jesus has with his disciples can give us a glimpse of how Christ desires to connect to each and every one of us, deeply and authentically as we journey along in this earth. Our text this morning is our gospel lesson from Luke, the 17th chapter, but I really need to back up the story a little bit, and we're going to go to Luke, the 5th chapter. If you have your Bibles or you want to pull it up on your device, part of those 12 hours that you're going to get bombarded with information, I understand. We're going to go to Luke chapter 5. Now, back in Luke chapter 5, Jesus is on the shore of a lake. There's a large crowd gathering around him to hear him preach, and Simon and the other fishermen are there. They had been out all night, and they had caught nothing. And they're there washing and scrubbing their nets, getting them ready for the next night of fishing. And most likely, those fishermen were pretty darn frustrated. I know they say the worst day fishing is better than the best day at work. But these guys, that was their work. And they were frustrated. They were frustrated. And in that moment, they were disconnected from Jesus. They saw that there was the teacher there, but Jesus comes up to Simon, and he asks Simon to bring his boat over, and he steps in the boat, and they push off from shore a little bit to get a little bit of a perspective on the crowd, and Jesus sits down, and he teaches the people. And after he's finished teaching, he asks Simon, "Hey, put out into deep water. Put down your nets for a catch." And I can just hear Simon, "But we just finished washing the nets. This is a terrible time to fish. Don't you know that the fish aren't biting? They're not around right now. And didn't you hear we didn't catch anything at all last night? And I doubt we're going to catch any now." But really, Simon relents. In Luke chapter 5, verse 5, Simon says, "But if you say so, I'll lower the nets." Now, in that moment, Simon was deeply detached and profoundly frustrated. But something amazing happens. In that moment, as the nets are put into the water, there's a giant catch of fish. In the moment, the nets were so full that they had to signal to the others on the shore, "Bring the other boat. We're going to drown. We're going to sink." Simon was caught off guard, and he saw what had happened. And in that moment, Simon Peter fell on his knees, and he says, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." Simon realized that in that moment, he was in the presence of the Lord. And in the presence of the Lord, he realized that he was deeply afflicted by sin. And he knew that in his sinfulness, he had no business be part of Jesus' holiness. But instead of honoring the request, Jesus speaks words of life and connection to Simon. "Don't be afraid, for now you're going to catch men." In that moment, the fear and the disconnection was destroyed, and a journey of connection commenced, and a life in Christ was made manifest to Simon and those first followers of Jesus. Now, perhaps you know Simon by his other name, Peter. And if you know Peter's life and his relationship with his Lord, you realize that his relationship with Jesus wasn't on a steady uphill climb. There were ups and downs, highs and lows, and even he goes so far as to deny him three times just before the crucifixion. Now, if you page through the Gospel of Luke from this point, if you have your Bibles open or want to swipe through a couple of the pages, you'll see time and time again the same situation playing out. We see people who are deeply disconnected and deeply frustrated, who find themselves deeply afflicted by sin, and in an encounter with Jesus Christ, they understand that they are now connected to the one who ensure that they are never neglected by the Father and they are completely forgiven and healed on account of Christ. You just flip through those pages, you see so many different events that the disciples were witnesses of as Jesus healed and taught, comforted and walked all the way to the cross and the open tomb. And in the midst of this journey, we come to our gospel lesson for today, Luke, the 17th chapter. You heard it read, and in this story, as Jesus comes into a town, he encounters 10 men suffering from a skin disease. And he knows that these men are deeply disconnected. They had been separated and disconnected from others because of the law. The law had said those with a skin condition must be separated from the town. They must live on the outskirts of town. And in fact, if they were to come around anybody else, they had to cry out, "Unclean! Unclean!" so people could avoid them. These 10 men were deeply disconnected. They were frustrated at the situation that they had found themselves in. They were afflicted by a disease that not only made them unclean, there was nothing that they could do about it. No way to heal themselves or fix the situation. Talk about some nomophobia there. They were not just out of mobile phone contact. They were out of contact from all of humanity, from all of the outside world. And they desperately desired connection. They deeply and urgently wanted to be connected to their loved ones once again. They know the law. They stand at a distance and they cry out, "Jesus, have mercy on us." And Jesus says, "Go show yourself to the priests." And as they're going, in a blink of an eye, the men are healed and cleansed, and the disciples were there to witness it all with their eyes. Now, time and time again, I've heard the exposition of this text that focuses on the last part of the story. The one Samaritan, the foreigner who comes back and thanks God and prays and bows at Jesus' feet. And oftentimes the moral of the story is, be thankful. And while I think the text says that, that's an okay thing, I really think that misses the point. I'm not sure exactly that is the main point of this story. Jesus cries out, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And the men start to scurry away to the temple. For it was the temple, the location of the manifestation of God himself, the temple where they knew that healing would be found, where they believed they would be restored and reconnected, with which they ultimately desired, was their destination. They run quickly so that they can be reconnected, but something dawns on that one. And I'm wondering, could it be that he realized something that the others completely missed? Could it be that when he saw that he had been healed, he realized that there had been a fundamental change, that the locale of God's presence had shifted from the temple of Jerusalem to the body of Jesus Christ? It was Jesus who said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will rebuild it once again." He was not talking about something made with stones, but a temple made of flesh. And in a moment of worship, this hated foreigner finds himself deeply connected to Christ, falls on his feet, praises God, and thanks him. Then there's that interesting exchange. Jesus asks, "Weren't all 10 of them healed? Where are the other 9? But I don't think that Jesus is chastising the man, but simply wondering why the others didn't come to the same conclusion. You know, this Samaritan had faith that God's presence is now in Jesus, and with that presence comes the full measure of God's mercy and grace and cleansing and health and healing and a deep connection to all of those who have been disconnected. And there's freedom now to reconnect in thanksgiving with those who had been apart and separated for so long. And I think that this story is really our story. For we've heard the words of Jesus Christ that your sin is forgiven. But oftentimes we too run after all things that don't seem to matter. We run after things and places in hopes to find a deep connection, but we don't find a deep connection in places or in things, but in a person. And his name is Jesus Christ. For like those in Jesus' day, sin has left you deeply disconnected. And trying to fix it on your own has left you deeply frustrated because you know that you are deeply afflicted by sin. No matter how hard you try to get rid of it, it seems to hold on tighter and tighter to you. That deep frustration is something that we all deal with. How do I know? Partially because the scripture tells me, but partially because I'm holding on to junk too. I'm holding on and running after things that I know bring me no connection. You know, there are times we think we've got it all figured out. We're just going to shout from a distance, Jesus, teacher, have mercy on me. Hoping he might throw us a bone, show us a few good words, and maybe we'll be okay. We'll be able to get over that hump. There are times we try to keep Jesus at arm's length, but Jesus has a different plan. It's not to be kept at arm's length, but it's to be intimately intertwined in his being. For the Word became flesh, made his dwelling among us. Jesus Christ took on human flesh, became one of us to connect deeply to us. He's not satisfied with us just calling from a distance, hey, Jesus, think about me every once in a while. Throw me a bone. He deeply desires to be connected to you personally and intimately. Jesus, true man and true God, became afflicted by the sin that so easily entangles us. He became disconnected on the cross from his Father himself, and the frustration that that brought, he brought sin upon himself so that he might take sin from you. He suffered and he died, and he was forsaken and alone by the Father so you might never be alone. And his promise that in 3 days later he would raise the temple of his body so that you would be connected to him, this is a sure and certain hope and a promise that you hold on to today. Jesus' life is your life. Jesus' resurrection is your resurrection, and you have it for all eternity. For Jesus has taken all of your sin, all that afflicts and frustrates. And just as the Samaritan who was healed, we too know that he is the only center and location of our worship and praise. And friends, this is not a far-off promise. It comes to us today. It comes to you. You will see it manifest in the water, connected to the Word. As in baptism, we are connected to Christ in a deep and an intimate way that we can't even understand. Jesus Christ will come to you not far off, but in your hands, in bread and in wine, broken and shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Every time you hear the Word proclaimed or spend time studying that Word, he comes right into you so that you would know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are forgiven. You know, connecting deeply is both the beginning and the end of our journey in the Bethany blueprint. For Christ connects deeply to us through water and word, through bread and wine. We are driven to our knees to praise God himself in Jesus Christ, to worship faithfully, to seek to be formed spiritually, to serve passionately, to give proportionately, to share intentionally. And in so doing, you are deeply connected to a God who loves you in Jesus Christ and frees you to be a neighbor, a neighbor to all of those that you are near, to serve them, to love them. As his forgiven and eternally connected children, we are now called to deeply connect to one another. For we have been united with one another just as Christ is united with us and with the Father, and for connecting deeply in Christ alone is what this journey is all about. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending Jesus Christ to be one of us, to take on all of our frustration, all of our affliction, so that we can be connected deeply to you. Lord, for the times we've kept you at arm's length, for the times we've kept you at bay, thinking that we can figure it all out, we ask for your forgiveness. We ask you now that you have deeply connected with us as you come to us, that we might bring you to others, so that many will know the journey of Jesus and will be able to celebrate with the masses that he is the Lamb of God who sits on the throne. And when that day you call us to be with you, it will be a joyous and a glorious day in heaven. Until that day, Lord, keep us ever steadfast in your word. Help us follow where you lead. In your name we pray. Amen.